But when I was put in the hospital, I had the good fortune of meeting Mose. I believe it was the third day I was there. And in the 2 years that I've known him, we've gotten to be close friends, and I feel a real privilege to be able to say he is my friend. And I think he's a man that when he read that 12th step, when he got to the end of it, says, practice these principles in all your affairs. He really does. I'd like to give you Mose Yoder.
Don't expect too much. I'm just one of you. That's all. Howard Van Hove used to say, it's wonderful to be sober. I don't want to forget that. I think that's one of the keynotes of our program is gratitude and honesty. Get honest with yourself and your fellow man. You know, if I always speak the truth, I don't have to remember what I said. Shall we pray? Almighty God, we thank you for this great previous 30 hours, for another chance to live again. Be with us this morning, O God. Renew our faith and strength, wisdom and courage. But most of all, keep us humble and grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm 72 years old. I've been sober 32 years. Don't fall over backwards. We're only doing this one day at a time. If I sit out there in a crowd, I always think, I wonder how long that guy been sober that's standing up there. And nobody jumped out of a clear sky and was sober 10 years. Just went, and I never got drunk tomorrow. Today is the day I got drunk, so today is the day I'm staying sober. We come to this program to sober up, and if you stay long enough, you find out how to stay sober. That's the thing that counts. And that's the name of the game, staying sober. I like that little pamphlet. They're all good. Especially, only two leaves in. A lot of gratitude in that little pamphlet. 15 points for an alcoholic to consider. When confronted from beer to take a drink. Then on the second page on the top line it says, remember the time when you don't want to drink, at the time to build up strength not to take one as when you do want it. Now I'm not going to take the path for a hitching post, but for a guiding post. I like that. Someone has said. Old Chess Crosby used to say, I want to go down memory lane once in a while to keep myself reminded. I'm not going to close that back door completely on the past. But I'm just so thankful, like someone has said, that I've got enough marbles left to play the game. An old friend of mine in Canada used to work in a halfway house. He said one day they brought a young boy in, 19 years old, on a straitjacket. He sobered him up and he got him out in good condition. Excuse me. And went out on the street, went to a few meetings, how long I don't know, but less than 6 months the poor boy was brought back again on a straitjacket, but this time it was different. He was a wet brain, he would be a wet brain the rest of his life. And all the alcohol that I consumed, God was merciful with me. So I like to enjoy the benefit of it. I paid my dues before I got here. Excuse me. If you need a drink right now, huh? I'm going to wait till tomorrow. The big book says, tell your story and tell you how you got a hold of this program and what you're doing about it. Now, I think that's very, very important. At the age of 16, one Sunday afternoon, a bunch of us boys, we got into my uncle's cider barrel in the wintertime without sled riding. Now, this was my first try with any kind of booze to really know what alcohol would do to you. I took a couple rounds of good hard cider, got the twinkle in my finger, and got me woozy. I found something. We went out sled riding, we came back after the second round, and I made a complete pig out of myself. I didn't know when to stop drinking. Why, this is so wonderful. I found a new world. And I got drunk. The last drink, they took it away from me. And I probably blacked out if they wouldn't have took that last drink away from me. And for the next 24 years after that, I never seen the day that I was able to take one drink of alcohol and shut it off and go about my business. That's it. In my way of thinking, that's the borderline for an alcoholic. I don't say I always got drunk. And never once. I was brought up in a good home, right from wrong. And never once in the 24 years of my drinking did I plan to get drunk or did I wanted to get drunk. All like F.M. Macy used to say, I just wanted to drink to get mellow, then I got right, and then I got rotten. That was me. Oh, how rotten. The morning after. 27th day of February of 1930, we got married. From 1930 to 1940, I was a drunken farmer. A lot of things happened I'm not going to tell you about. It's just another rat race drunken story. Spring of 1931, I'm not proud of these things by all means. We moved home to my wife's parents on the farm. I soon discovered mother-in-law could make good homebrew and homemade wine. I couldn't leave it alone. I drank it just like it belonged to me. The second year we lived at home, mother-in-law got me to put a barrel of cider away for vinegar, and she never got any vinegar, no. I took care of it before I got the vinegar. I drank a lot of food like whiskey, hard cider, beer, wine, anything that pertained to alcohol. Not for the taste of it, but what it done to me, that false courage, that no care feeling, that's what it was. Then get rid of the empty bottles, that was another chore. A woman asked her husband one time and said, where did all these empty bottles come from out here in the garage? The husband said, I don't know, I never bought an empty bottle in my life. I didn't either. They were always full. By 1940, excuse me, I had drank myself completely under the table, financially bankrupt. I'm going to cut her short. You know how to get drunk. I'll soon tell you what this wonderful God-given program means to me. From 1940 on, my main drink was Tokay and white port. Make me shiver to think about them dry heaves in the morning. The only reason I drank Tokay and white port, I got more mileage per gallon. 26th day of December of 1940, I started to work in a pot in Fredericksburg, Ohio, which I worked for over 7 years, drunk and sober, and how I held that job, I don't know. Now, the last 2.5 years of my drinking to sober days was very few, not many. I don't say I was completely drunk every day, but half in the bag, so to speak, try to float in midair, but it didn't always stay that way. The last 2.5 years, there was no more happy meeting about it. There was a compulsion I had to drink. In the sober moments of my life, thinking about what would take place if I go one single day without alcohol. Ooh. Then in the middle of May of 1947, something took place. God touched me. One evening I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. And my wife was still in the room and came out in the room and said, Mom, I'm licked. I have to do something about my drinking. I believe she almost fell over backwards. She never heard a remark out of me like that before. Well, if I got too stinking drunk, couldn't I out of it, I had to admit it, but never once did I tell any human being that I cannot paddle my own canoe. My wife said, well, what do you want to do? I said, go to some hospital, try to get a start to get away from alcohol, and then never touch it again. Here's another miracle. Action is the magic word. That 24-hour book should be in every alcoholic's home. This is my way of thinking. A year and 8 months before I came to the dead end of my road, there were three friends of mine went through St. Thomas Hospital in Akron for alcoholism. They came home, couple attended a few meetings. 6 months later, they all three got drunk. This evening, when I surrendered to my wife, she said, where do you want to go? And I said, where them boys went? And I said, we don't want that. They're drunk, see? Power an example. So my wife got a hold of another address. And the last Friday of May of 1947, my wife got this answer out of Cleveland. It was $200 for a 3-day treatment. Later on, we found out it's a killer gear. I believe I was over it, but go home and drink no more. I wouldn't have this wonderful program, the schoolroom of AA, to follow up with. Here's the second miracle that took place in my life. While me and my wife were looking this mail over, our neighbor came there at the right 10 minutes time to visit my dad-in-law. Now, I put the bee on him. I didn't have enough money. Now, before this, it was all hush-hush. I didn't want to hear any part of this drinking, but now I didn't care who I talked to. I put the bee on my neighbor and said, I'm going to Cleveland doing something about my drinking habit, but I need money. First of all, he said, I haven't got no money for you. And second, he said, don't go to Cleveland. My uncle's been up there twice, and it's no good. He's drinking. But he said 5 weeks ago, I was in Worcester. We used to live 10 miles out of Worcester back in 47. That 5 weeks ago, I was in Worcester, the day this blacksmith surrendered, and some boys picked this man up and took him to Columbus, and that man's sober 5 weeks. Again, power and example in the right direction. Action is the magic word. Action. And I want you to what he has got. He's sober 5 weeks. But he didn't know what it was, but he's... Well, on the Monday morning, on the first day of June, me and my wife went to Worcester. I have to tell you this last Sunday yet. For years, I had to get up first in the morning because to get that eye open to quieten these awful shakes and nerves and what have you. But that Sunday morning, I don't know why, I laid in bed shaking for some reason. Yes, it was for all for a purpose. My wife got up first and she went, I wonder if I could find this jug. I had a half a gallon jug of white port, just half full, enough to carry me over the weekend. She found my jug and she hid it. Then I got up and my jug was going, ooh. What in the world will I do? And I hunted up my wife and I guess I must have looked like a raven maniac. I go, shaking all over, and he said, I never seen him. I could have never told her what condition I really was. It was all for a purpose. She said, okay, I'll put it back, and she did. And she went out to the barn and started milking. 5-10 minutes later, I came out to the barn, had my milk book, and I was just as calm as normal, but I had my eye open. I had to have that. It was a compulsion. It was a must. Well, on the Monday morning, we went to Worcester, we got this address, and we boarded the train and went to Columbus. Landed in Broad Street home, 1134 East Broad in Columbus. In the evening about sundown, I was about 7-8 in the bag, and I'd usually been for a long time, met all swipes at the door. The first words I asked him, said, is this the place where they cure drunks? And he asked a bunch of questions about my drinking. I told him part liar and part true, and he pronounced me an alcoholic. I never heard that before. To me, it was a polished word for a drunk, but a sick baby. Oh, brother. Any skid row bum any sicker than I was. Ah. The second day in the hospital was the first time I ever heard of AA. How grateful, how grateful, how grateful. They treated me wonderful at the hospital. I refused some of my whiskey shots if I could only have one shot every 2 hours, you know. If I could have a whole gallon all the way through, it'd be different, but... And I came there to sober up. And I wasn't too much of a whiskey drinker anyhow. Oh, nothing else available. I drank a lot of whiskey, yeah. So on the fourth day of June, as we was coming down from the upstairs down in the basement for our lunch period, Johnson brought in a half a fifth of white port. And he gave me a good half water glass of good white port. And I downed that. And that was my last drink from that day to this. Tomorrow, I don't know. I'm not living tomorrow. So, there was a lot of good talks there. In my fucked up mind, I didn't. The greatest thing I got out of that hospital, you know, I was looking for that magic pill every day. They're going to give me that magic cure-all pill, but I never got it. One day I asked Johnson, how long will this be till this craving will leave me for alcohol? He said, work it on a 24-hour basis, and if 24 hours is too long, break it down in 2 hours. Someday it'll come easier. That was the greatest joy I took home from the hospital. Someday it'll come easier. I came home. I was enthused, even in all my shakes. I shook for weeks and weeks, shaking off the last 2.5 years drunk. And I told my wife, now this thing works, we're going to tell others. My wife had the same idea, but going to a meeting, oh, they told me there's a meeting in Worcester. At the parish house on Friday night. Oh, someday we might go to a meeting. But as days rolled on, this came further from my mind about going to an AA meeting. 10 days after I was home from the hospital, here's where the third miracle took place. My sponsor drove 10 miles to invite me to that first meeting. That made an outstanding impression that somebody go out of their way to do something for me without being paid for. That somebody cared for me. God only knows where would I be today if it wouldn't have been for that. Just to make that one single trip. That done something. Well, we attended our first meeting. The 20th day of June of 1947, my sponsor took me right up in the front row. Oh, brother, I didn't like that. I don't know what they're going to do, but I followed them for a long time after that, and there was about 50 people there. And the greatest, I don't recall one single word the speaker said. The greatest thing I got out of that first meeting was the welcome they gave me, the million-dollar smile they had on their face. They had something that I wanted. They were enjoying life without a bottle. And that's what I was looking for, enjoy life without a bottle. Now, you'll never know who's going to make it. Grover Maxwell, he was 3 months ahead of me in the program, And when I left for home that first night, you told the rest of the boys that that guy will never make it. So if you hear something tonight that you don't like, lay it up on the shelf. Maybe someday you want to use it. If not, so what? I have a choice today. There was many hundreds and hundreds of mornings. I did not have a choice in the morning. I had to have a drink in order to navigate. Today I have a choice. And I want to keep that choice, and it's only by keeping close contact with this wonderful program of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is it. Am I grateful enough? Am I grateful enough? 2 and 4 is at the end of the prayer. It's not all a bed of roses. No, sir. There was a lot of ups and downs, but the greatest thing for me is to keep trying. I like the motto and said, this too shall pass. It will. If I put my shoulder to the wheel and give it a good try. 2 and 4 at the end of the prayer says, I pray that I may not be discouraged in the slow progress that I make. It's like Henry Warman said, it isn't a try. There's no top rung, there's no diploma, there's no graduation in AA. It's surprising what a man can still learn if he thinks he knows it all. There's always something to learn if I'm willing. How much more beautiful the sun looks after a dark, dreary day. And behind every cloud there's a silver lining. If we magnify our blessings the way we do our troubles, what a different world this would be. Clem Lane from Chicago let Founders Day years ago. He dropped something I liked and said, if I have a board 365 feet long, he said, nobody can lift that board. But he said, let me cut that board into 1 foot length. It's not hard one day at a time. I like that. Dr. Bob made his last talk in the Cleveland Convention in 1950 when he was dying from cancer. 15-minute talk. And I heard that. It was the only time I ever been able to attend a world convention. I never got to shake hands with Bob, but I heard that. And I liked the words he said. Keep it simple. Don't louse it up. I liked it. It stuck with me. Then in the big books he says, I must keep schooling myself in his story. And I liked it. The little boy came home from school one day and father asked him, son, what did you learn today? Not much. I have to go back tomorrow. That's what I have to do. Keep doing something about it. Think of a motto was hanging on the school wall. And meant drinking days I didn't have time to think about that motto. I said, do your best and do it every day. Let us do our best today. Them are the things that I must keep in mind. Don't forget to be grateful. The two prisoners were looking out through the window. One had seen the stars, the other seen the moon. Gratitude, gratitude. There was a boat sinking from not too far from shore. On this boat, there was a good swimmer. This good swimmer rescued 18 people, one by one, to safety before he exhausted. And not a one of these 18 people came back and told him and thanked him for saving their lives. Am I grateful? Do I appreciate it? The 10 lepers that was healed, only one of them told the master he's grateful and thankful. So honest and gratitude again is the whole thing in a nutshell. Are the two honest is the backbone of the whole business of this program in my way of thinking. That I can live with myself, that I can face reality, I can watch. I have to watch for the pitfall of the blind. Them are the things that I have to watch today. That I can be a better to my conscience. That I can live above circumstances. Trust God, clean house, and help others. The whole program hangs on that 6 words. Trust God, clean house, and help others. I much sooner belong to this program and not need it than not to belong to this program and need it. If you can't, as someone has said, if you can't find anything to be grateful for, just say be grateful for the things that you escaped. I could be a wit brain or could be 6 foot under. How grateful, how grateful. I heard a speaker say one time, my pay on this earth is not too much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. I like that. I like that. I like that. Bill Wilson, the co-founder, led at in 1965 at Founders Day, he dropped these words, and I like them. The sun will never set upon the society of AA, of Alcoholics Anonymous. I like that. That is precious to me. Precious to me. Again, like the old Indian said, I'd sooner have my pot boiling over than not boiling at all. Can I sit at home in an easy rocking chair and say I'm grateful? Gratitude demands expression. Do something about it. Faith is the key that unlocks the storehouse of God's resource. 216 in the 24-hour book said, faith is not the whole story. There must be service. We must get this thing away if we want to keep it. The service to others give me real purpose in life. Service to the new person, just by going to these meetings and absorbing some of these handlers that are around at these AA meetings, talking with other people, you're sharing. Sharing is the key to success. And before you drop out of AA, read November the 2nd, the meditation. Mention, as long as I keep sharing, God is going to keep me filled. At the end of this meditation, it mentioned, a lake must have an inflow and an outflow in order to be clear. I like that. I think the whole program all sums it up into this one story of the rich young lady been going to the doctor time and time and again. All was wrong with the lady. She had too much time and money on her hand. Finally, that doctor told her, over there's a young girl. Try to take care of an old couple. You go and help that young girl to manage life, not to work. If they need any clothes or food, send for it and send me the bill, doctor's orders. The young lady went over there and she seen the need and she pitched right in. She helped to do the work and sent for the thing they needed and paid the bill herself. Forgot all about you, see. By giving up herself, she helped herself. The man was, I read a story on the Brighter Side some years ago. The man was sober some time. He got the feeling, I should pass this thing on. Tell others about this wonderful way of life. So one Sunday afternoon, he went to a hangout we used to spend some time. There's two guys laying on the floor, two guys laying on a bed, one guy laying in the bathtub, looped to the guilt. One guy, he got partly woke up and told him what he found. He left the place. He thought he didn't do a bit of good. 6 months later, a man came up to him at an AA meeting. He said, you remember me? Yes. You remember me? And he said, no, I don't. He said, remember that Sunday afternoon? And he said, I sure do. And he said, I was under the bed. You'll never know. He was under the bed. So this gives me a new lease on life. It's not too much in life what I want, it's what I need. These are the things. Someone has said maybe there are no musts in AA. Now, how about prayer? How do I use prayer? Just when I get in a tight spot, all confused, down in the dumps like a spare tire, like a fire escape, just in case of emergency, prayer is the key to God's treasure house. Another man said, it's just as important to dress up my mind as it is to dress up my body. Prayer is the pipeline to God. Convert Lowe used to say, like a trolley car, as long as this trolley car is connected up with the electric line up above, it's runnable. We can always call on God. In any time, day or night, God's line is never busy. God's storehouse is never empty. And God is just as close to you as you let him. Them are the things that I must keep in mind. J.C. Penney was once asked and said, you must have had a lot of problems in your life. He said, yes, I grew in my difficulties. Them were the things that I must keep in mind. I grew in my difficulties. Ann Craw used to say, when I pray for potatoes, reach for a hoe. Do something about it. Do something about it. The man went into a telephone booth after night, looking all around for the light and couldn't find it. Another man came by and seen this problem and said, close the door and the light would come on. To give God my undivided attention. One more in the line of prayer. The blind man that was healed. The master didn't tell him, open your eyes, you're healed. No, he took a handful of clay and he smeared over his eyes and said, now go to the pool and wash. Do something about it. God will do the impossible. It's up to us to do the possible. I get up in the morning. I get down on my knees. I ask God for strength and guidance. For that day, I close my day with thanksgiving on my knees. Why shouldn't I show my appreciation to my Maker that he showed me this wonderful way of life whereby I can enjoy life without a bottle? I see a little flash prayer in Trinity that I'm not on my knees. Oh, I forgot the qualification of an alcoholic. To me, it's just like an elevator. What floor am I going to get off? Am I going to go all the way down to the bottom? I don't have to. I seen the Skid Row film in AA a number of years ago, Chicago Skid Row. Some cold winter mornings, I had 30 of them dead. It's not how much we drink or where we drink or how long you drink. It's what alcohol does to you. Does alcohol make you a different person? It does me. I cannot guarantee my behavior. If I take one drink of alcohol, one drink is too many, and 10,000 is not enough for me because I am an alcoholic. Joel Netherow always said, can you drink successfully, not me? I know of a man that drinks 3 bottles of beer and goes haywire. Some of you boys could say, well, I didn't drink every day. I wasn't a wino like you was. But remember, if you didn't get down as far as I did, you haven't got as far back. Something to think about. Someone has said, if you're doubtful where you are an alcoholic, he said, fill 32 one-ounce glasses of whiskey and set them on a shelf and drink one every day. A lot of people can, but I cannot. There's some kind of a makeup within me. If I take one drink, I don't want to stop with one drink. I want more. So then I'm saying, there's a lot of people maybe drink 5, 10, 15, 20 years before they cross that invisible borderline, but not me. From the rest I go. A power greater than yourself? Sure, there must be a power. Look at the spring of the year from the flowers, the grass, the leaves come out. You never seen anybody that planted the rose bush out in mid-air and watched it grow. Tricks the good old Mother Earth, like the guy that made a grain of wheat, the size, the shape, the color, the form, like a natural grain. He planted this grain of wheat, but it didn't grow. Why? Because it did not have no life. It has got to get the life. Someone has said, I don't understand everything about this God business. But he said, I don't understand everything about the electricity either, but I'm not going to sit in the dark till I do. I like that. I like what the little girl was asked to recite the 23rd Psalm. It said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. I like that. I like that. The man asked a little boy, had a nice big red apple, and said, here's a nice red apple. And said, I'll give you this apple if you tell me where God is. The little boy was pretty smart and said, silly and silly, and said, I'll give you a bushel of apple if you tell me where God is not. I like that. I like that. So I still have a thinking problem. I can't help but have evil thoughts in my mind, same as a flock of birds will fly over my head, but I can prevent them birds from building nests in my hair, same way with an evil thought. Worry is a slight form of atheism. I still catch myself when a problem comes up, I'm going to handle it instead of let go and let God. What you seek, you'll not find unless you share. Meetings. I could tell you some tragedy stories in my last 32 years of men and women that I've seen. How long should I go to these meetings? Someone has said, how long do you want to stay sober? How long should I go to these meetings? Till you want to go. I like that. Yeah, I like that. I met a man in St. Thomas Hospital a number of years ago with 11 years under his belt. In pajamas. What happened? Well, he said I was drinking sweet silence, so I got hard and I forgot to stop drinking. Had you been to any meeting lately? Hadn't you been to a meeting for a long time? Meeting. I met a young man in Charity Hospital a number of years ago, a young man that I know that's 5 years under his belt, in pajamas. In our conversation, I asked him, he said, you have the 24-hour book? Yes, I do, but I did not have it open for a couple of years, you know. It's not how much I know about this program. It's put it in practice. I was down south to a conference some years ago. I met a man from Huntington, West Virginia. He told me this with his own story. He said, I took a number of trips to Chillicothe due to my drinking. He said, the last trip that I was there, one day the guard took him over into a big building. On the way over to that building, he said, now the next time you're coming back, I've got a bed over here with your name on it, and that's where you're going to land. He took him in that building. In that building, there was 800 men. Snap, beyond compare. They drank too much, too long, too often. Am I grateful? He came out in the grapevine in the last years. I didn't see it. Somebody told me. Overall speaking, today, not in AA, 9 million alcoholics outside. Only 3 out of 100 alcoholics that recovers. Very small bit. Am I grateful? Do I appreciate this news? Bill Dodson, The third man of this program was sober 19 and a half years when he died. He was asked, how long should I go to his meeting? Bill said, I don't know. I don't want to gamble. It's good enough for Bill and it's good enough for me. Bill had another story I liked about staying away from the bottle. I just soon have a tiger tied in my front yard with a bottle of booze. Bill had the story of the man. Three men went up the mountain to be interviewed for a taxi driving job. The first guy was asked to be interviewed and said, how close do you come to the edge of this cliff without going over? The first one said, I can come within 4 inches. The next one said, how close can you come? I can come within 2 inches. The third one was asked, how close can you come? He said, I don't know, but I know this much. I'm going to stay away from the edge of that cliff just as far as I can. And that's what Bill Dowson said, him and the first drink. Me and alcohol just don't mix, so why should I take a chance? Picked up a story last fall in the east side of Cleveland in the land of this. A man was walking along the road on a cold day, and a snake was laying along the road, and the snake said, I'm cold, pick me up. No, you're a snake, you're going to bite me. No, I wouldn't bite you. Picked the snake up and put it under his coat. After a while, the snake wiggled around, got warm. He reached in, and the snake bit him. He threw the snake down. He said, you told me you wasn't going to bite me. Yes, I know, but you know who I was. I know who the bottle is, too. So why should I take any chance? Out of the intergroup office in Akron, some years ago, a 20-year man got drunk and called for help. And a young man was 10, 12 years, a good, solid sobriety, was called on the scene. When this young man came on the scene, this old drunk said, you young punk, you can't tell me nothing. I read the big book, 24-hour book, and blah, 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 when he got down blowing off, he said, the young man said, but you forgot one thing, you forgot how to stay sober. It's not how much you know about the whole bit, the 24-hour book, the big book, and everything. Like I heard a preacher say, it's not how much you know about the Bible, it's living it. That's the whole thing of it all. It's living it. One of our local men, some years ago, not long ago, I had a talk with him. He said he was sober a year and a half. One evening, he and his wife had a terrific argument. He said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to get out and get drunk. Went to the liquor store to buy a bottle. And the parking lots was filled. They had to make a couple rounds around the block. By so doing, he come to himself. Who am I going to show? He went back home. Didn't take a drink. That's 18 years ago. I don't take a chance. This is too precious, too precious. Stay in dry places, stay in dry places. I read a story in the grapevine some time ago. Two old timers were sitting in an open fireplace. One guy said, I feel pretty good. I don't believe I need these meetings anymore. And the other guy got up and got a shovel and got a red hot coal out of the fire and laid it over to his side. After a while, looked over and said, look at the life of that coal. It's dead. It's gone. We need one. We need one. So these are the things that I must keep in mind. The 12-step, the 4 absolutes, was all they had in the beginning of the first couple of years. Honesty, purity, unselfish, and love. And I think that makes a good foundation to build this house of sobriety. With the 12 steps, we need them all, every one of them. First one, like I said, a completely surrender, admit it. It's not a disgrace to have this disease of alcoholism, but it is a disgrace to have them do nothing about it. Then that's step 3. That's a beauty. Make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand. That's the beauty. Regardless of what denomination or what walk of life, we come together for one purpose mainly, to reinforce our determination to stay sober. Then step 4. Get rid of the garbage. The sooner you do it, the better you're off. I sponsored a man in Hartville a number of years ago and brought him home from the hospital. He done wonderful. On the way home, I said, now, Carlos, we done a lot of damage in our home. I did. Sometime or another, I'm not saying you have to do it right off of the bat, but you're new in the program now, but sometime or another, you have to tell your wife you're sorry for the things that you've done. I dropped him off at the house, and I found out his wife met him on the inside the door, and Carlos started right in on his wife, apologizing for the wrongs that he'd done. And Carlos never had a bit of trouble Simpson, that 18 years ago. So them are the things. Get rid of the garbage. The sooner, the better. The first 9 steps to crawl it is alcoholic fit, and the last 3 steps are maintaining steps. Step 10, continue to take prison inventory and wrong promptly admitted. I like the story of the little boy with connection with step 10. Went to the drugstore and asked a man, can you use your telephone? He said, sure, son. So he called up a party, and the party answered the little boy. Said to the man, you need somebody around the house to mow your lawn to keep things in order. And I have a little fellow to do the work for me. Is he doing a good job? Yes, he's doing a fine job. So I hung up the receiver and started to go out, and the drugstore man called him back and said, come back here, son. I've got a job for you. I don't want no job. That's the place I'm working. I'm just checking up on myself. That's what I have. Find out which man traveling on this highway of AA. Well, we come to step number 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve, not stand still, to improve our conscious contact with God. Again, the beauties we understand Him. Praying only for the knowledge of His will, not my will, and the power for us to carry that out. The 12 steps to carry the message, not the alcoholic. We can't go and drag him over the bar stool, but we got a big responsibility. Take that man around to these meetings and show him what this schoolroom of AA has to offer. But the big book says, if you want what we have, are you willing to go to any lengths to get it? We can lead a horse to a water trough if we can't make him drink. Them are the things that I must keep in mind. Then comes the last 7 words of the 12 step. Practice these principles in all our affairs. I'm not perfect. Not by long said. But I must, just because I'm not bringing my life where I want to, well, what's the use? Throw everything overboard and go out and get drunk? No. I must keep trying. So going to a meeting is just like a booster shot. I'm not asking God to take these problems away from me. I'm asking God to give me more backbone to face these problems. Someone has said, some people are just like tea bags. They are very little value, and that unless they get in hot water. It's not the tool that whistle that pulls the train, someone has said. Takes action. The right train of thought will take me to a better station in life. Someone has said, I got 2 dogs in me, a black one and a white one, and they're fighting. The black one is the old nature, and the white one is the new nature, the good spirit. Someone has said, well, which dog wins? The one that I feed the most. I like that. Again, action. I could coast down a hill on a bicycle, but what about going up the next hill? I better do a little pedaling. Any dead fish can swim down the river, but they take your life when they swim up. So an idle mind at the devil's workshop. And for me, the largest room there is room for improvement, and brother, that is me. Someone has said, well, we have to keep up with the Joneses. Well, if that's the case, you better find out where they're going. How true. Well, it's time to close. Bill Weir from Salem, a number of years ago, had a telephone call from one of his buddies, and said, come over, I'm drunk. In the wee hours of the morning, Bill said, oh, it's no way hard to travel. Couldn't wait till morning. I want you right now, Bill said. Okay, I'll be over. So he hung up the receiver and put on his shoes, but he was a mumbling and a grumbling. Oh, brother, do I have to go out in this kind of weather? His wife spoke up and said, Bill, which end of the line would you sooner be? How much better to stay sober than to sober. These are the things I must keep in mind. Now the man or woman that has trouble in this program goes overboard. Don't be afraid to come back. Keep coming back. Let no failure be final. Don't let the glamour of AA wear off. Keep coming back. If I point a finger at him or her, I got 3 of them pointing back at me. The only time I have any right to look down on my fellow man when it's too over to give him a lift. The only guy who has any success running other people down is the elevator boy. As a young boy, such a good skater. He said, what makes you such a good skater? He studied a little and said, well, maybe it's because I always get up and try again. That's what counts. Try again. Now it's these small things in life that I have to watch for most. Jim Brennan said, pull that towel down for the next guy. He said he came off of the elevator one morning and said, I wonder if I pulled that towel down in the washroom for the next guy. And he took the elevator and went back up, and he pulled that towel down. He said, I know, Jim Brennan, if I leave these little things slip, they'll pile up in the big thing. You never heard of anybody tripping over Pike's Peak. It's these small things in life. And them are the things I have to watch. A number of years ago, one more story. Outside, we live about 5 miles out of Hartville. Outside of Hartville, on Monday, they're over the auction and a lot of produce trucks. Quite a number of years ago, on a Monday evening, I came home from work. I told Mama I'm going over to the sale barn to buy some raw pineapples again. There was a neighbor woman at her house at the present that her husband had run off and left the two small boys to raise. This neighbor woman said, bring me a couple. I went over there and bought a bunch for us and two for her, but on the way home, I picked out the two smallest ones for her. Well, I'm entitled on to work, you know, but you know, I couldn't forget that. Shame on you. Every time I seen a woman, I thought of it. Every time I seen a pineapple, I thought of it. Sometime later on a Monday evening, on the way home from work, they stopped at the sale barn. One of the first things they seen was a pineapple sitting on the table. I told myself, now you go and buy a couple of pineapples, take it home and tell you what you've done. Ooh, that hurts my pride. What would you think of me? Come on, you louse, you're the one that done it. I want to thank you for giving me this privilege to be with you. Not because it was me that's popping off, nor of myself, I'm nothing in my flesh, till it's no good thing. But it's always a pleasure and a privilege and a duty to be at an AA meeting. Here are my friends, and I must keep busy. The old saying is, it's much better to wear out than to rest out. So I cannot afford to do like the little boy that came home from school one day and was asked by his father, son, been a good boy in school today? No. Been a bad boy? No. What then? Oh, it's just comfortable. Just neutral. By that I'm going to close. Don't walk in front of me, for I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, for I may not lead you. Walk beside me and be a friend. Shall we close the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever.